All right, open your Bible, if you will, to 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, at the very beginning. Now, of course, I skipped verse 3 last week and came back and picked it up Sunday morning. So I ended with verse 4 last week, and we were talking about the call of the Spirit and belief in the truth. They were chosen to salvation. And we spent some time on that chosen to salvation last week. And we won't go back to that, but we'll move on. I'm going to read verses 5 through the end of the chapter, okay? For our gospel came not unto you in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Ghost and in much assurance, as ye know what manner of men we were among you for your sake. And ye became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction with joy. Now, isn't that strange? Affliction with joy. Now, I know there's a comma there, but still, the same thought continues. In much affliction with joy of the Holy Ghost. So that ye were in samples to all that believe in Macedonia and Achaia, For from you sounded out the word of the Lord, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but also in every place. Your faith to Godward is spread abroad, so that we need not to speak anything. For they themselves show of us what manner of entering in we had unto you, and how you turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God, and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, which delivered us from the wrath to come. Verse 5, we see the power of the gospel. For our gospel came not unto you in word only, but also in power, in the Holy Ghost, in much assurance, as ye know about manner of men. We were among you for your sake. Now the gospel came in word. Now, they did not have gospel tracts, okay? They did not have much of the written word. Now, they had the Old Testament scriptures, and the Jews hopefully were familiar with that. I do not know how familiar they were. They were Jews, and they went to synagogue. In Israel now, there are Jews. They go to synagogue, but they don't know the Old Testament scriptures. They don't know the holidays they celebrate. Just like here, it's just a day off for a lot of them. For I don't know whether to say the majority, but probably the majority of them, it's a day off. But the word came, and it was the spoken word that came to them. It came publicly. It came privately, it came in groups, it came one-on-one, but the word came to them. Now, someone said, and I think rightfully so, talking about the gospel being the good news, said it's only good news if it gets there in time. So we have to get the gospel there. We have to get the gospel to people. That's our job. That's our command. That's our commission. That is our mission statement. That's it. All the world, the gospel to every creature. That's it. That's our mission statement. This command was in the Old Testament, really. The Old Testament Jews were to be witnesses for the Lord Jesus Christ to those who were not Jews. Now, it's somewhat different in the New Testament, but they gave testimony to the goodness of God, to the promises of God, to the prophecies of God, to bring them to faith in God. But they didn't do that. They circled the wagons, and they locked themselves in, and they didn't go out. They didn't tell other people about the Lord Jesus Christ. They didn't tell about God. They didn't tell about the prophecies. They didn't tell about the coming Messiah. People knew they had sacrifices, but nobody knew why they did it. That was just the way they did things. And you get the idea that they probably didn't know themselves why they were doing it. But the commandment was there. The testimony of the apostles was in word. And then Paul spent 3 years with the Lord. After his salvation, God led him into a desert area, a private personal area, and he spent as long with the Lord individually, not physically, but he spent time with the Lord for 3 years as much as the apostles had spent with him physically on earth in that time of the ministry of the Lord, between the beginning of his public ministry and his crucifixion. And then it began to be put into written form. God began to have the record written down of the New Testament scriptures. Until we have the Word. We have the Word. But it does not negate nor lessen the importance of the preached Word. Now, there are people who get saved just by reading the Bible. That can happen. But that doesn't happen very much. And we cannot excuse ourselves and say, well, if people want to get saved, Bibles everywhere, let them read the Bible. No, that does not excuse us from our command. Go, all the world, every creature, preach the gospel. Preach the gospel. Give the word. Give the word. Give the word spoken. Give the word written. Give out tracts. Give invitations. Give, 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 give. Give the word. Give the word. But it was not only the word. Look what it says in verse 5. For our gospel came not unto you in word only. Ah, but it came in the power of the Holy Spirit. The power of the Holy Spirit, the power of the Holy Ghost was there. And whenever Paul came into town, something took place. Because he was giving the word, but it was not just Paul giving the word. As a yielded servant of the Lord, there was the power of the Holy Ghost upon his life and an infused power in the giving of the word. You see, what we have here in this right here is so connected to the Holy Spirit that we should not try to separate that. Now, I'm for learning all you can about methods. I'm for learning that whenever you go up somebody's door and you knock on the door and they come to the door, you introduce yourself in a nice way. You identify with where you're from. And whenever you go up to the door and you knock on the door, don't stand right up against the door to where they open the door. You're right in their face. Don't do that. You back up a couple of steps to where you're not intimidating whenever they're open the door. You know, you need to learn all those things. But I'm going to tell you what right now. If you knock on the door and they open the door while you're knocking, if you got the Holy Spirit will turn that thing right around. He'll do that. I'll never forget one day I was out knocking on doors, and I went to this door in an apartment complex, and I knocked on the door. Whenever I knocked on the door opened. And there were people sitting right there eating, and it was a very awkward situation. I mean, the door wasn't closed. There was no way to tell that. If I'd have lived in that neighborhood, I'd have had it closed and locked and everything else. But they didn't. They didn't. And very, very awkward. The Lord can turn that thing around, though, in the most horrible situation. But it's good to know. It's good to know what to do and follow good policies. If I was out visiting the neighborhood, in this neighborhood, as I am, whenever I go up and knock on a door, I don't carry my Bible like this. Or even like this, you know? I carry a concealed weapon. Okay? I don't have open carry. Now, there are times we have open carry. But I carry my New Testament. It's interesting now. I've become somewhat comfortable in seeing people get saved off a phone. Now, isn't that interesting? off a phone with the Bible on your phone. When back many years ago, I got one of these little Bibles on, it's just a little thing. I forget what they called it now, the Franklin. They made dictionaries and they made Bibles and things like that. You could look up passages. And it was easy to carry. You carry it anywhere and you had your whole Bible and you could read anywhere, everything like that. And this was years ago. This was 20, more than that, 25 years ago. And I was sitting on an airplane reading my Bible off that thing. And it's the first time I ever had the experience of leading someone to the Lord off that kind of a piece of equipment. And I took a little getting used to. I didn't know whether... I remember not having a whole lot of faith about that. I didn't know whether the Word would be powerful if it wasn't on paper. But I found it was. That is the Word of the Lord. And it's the same Word. And so the Holy Spirit's power works there. And I talked with a fellow who went to a very well-known church with a very popular preacher, and he went regularly. He said, my wife's saved. He said, but I've never trusted Christ. And he got saved on the airplane right there. It was a thrill for me because I was excited because I used this little... whatever it was, this little machine that had the Bible on. But the power of the Holy Ghost, whenever believers are surrendered to Him, now He'll use His Word if you just give His Word, but what effective it is to have that combination of His Word surrendered to the Holy Spirit, who gave the Word, and then a believer that the Holy Spirit has given birth to, the Holy Spirit has quickened that one, made that one alive. We're born of the Spirit. And the Holy Spirit has birthed us, given the Word, and now empowers us, yielded to Him, to give the Word out to others. You see, this all works together. These factors come together. And it was done, he says, with much assurance. With much assurance. Paul did not have any doubts whenever he gave the gospel that the gospel would work. The devil tries to give us all kinds of doubts whenever we give a gospel. He gets us to doubt ourselves. Why in the world are we thinking about ourselves when we're given the gospel? We doubt our ability. Why are we thinking about our ability? Why are we thinking about us? Why has it always got to be about me? What do people think of me? How am I doing? Am I doing this right? Would the pastor like the way I'm doing it? Would so-and-so like the way? Am I doing it good? Why does it have to be about me? Okay. Paul had no doubt that the gospel worked, and he did not doubt that it would work in the Thessalonians. He did not doubt that it would work with Jews. He did not doubt that it would work with Gentiles. Now that was an amazing thing. It was not the same experience in Thessalonica that it was in Philippi. It was different circumstances. But it was the same Word, same person, same Holy Spirit. Circumstances were different. I mean, in Philippi, he goes in town on Sabbath day, he goes find some people worshiping. And he finds these people down by the side of the river. They weren't in the synagogue, weren't in the building. Whenever he comes to Thessalonica, he goes to the synagogue. There's a synagogue there. He goes to the synagogue. So you have the Holy Spirit, you have the Word, you have the faith, the assurance that is in the Word, and then you have the human instrument that God uses. The other Tuesday night, I think it was a week ago Tuesday night, it was a week ago because I went back to this house Tuesday night before last. Aaron and I were together. We were visiting. We were out visiting and we were tracking down cards and people who had been here on Anniversary Sunday, as were some others. We were in this area off Normandy, north of Saxon, and we were in that area up in there. We found some folks, met some folks, and folks not home, and all those things that go into that. And finally I said, we turned on Sullivan. I said, there's a visit in there on Sullivan. I said, I know, I saw it. There's a visit in there. Look, he found a card of somebody, the individuals, the people, the family, the couple that had been, that were on Sullivan. We went way down to the end of Sullivan. And we got down there, and you go up to the door, knock on the door, you know, and you see that, no solicitors. You see that sign, you know, it's always a lovely sign you get to see. And so we knocked on the door, and a fella came to the door. Well, I knew him. Aaron knew him too. Now watch this, what happens. Here is the power of the Holy Spirit using the Word of God. Here's a fellow who's been coming to this church. He's heard the gospel, heard the gospel, heard the gospel, heard the gospel. And we sat down with him, just talking. He and his wife, we were sitting there just talking. And I just asked him, I said, has there ever come a time whenever you trusted Christ as your Savior? He said, I haven't, and I need to get that taken care of. Now the Holy Spirit, and he did. And I didn't see him here Sunday, so I went back to see him Tuesday night. He said, I was there. I said, okay, I'm sorry. I said, well, you didn't come down front and get baptized. He said, no, I'm going to get that taken care of, though. I said, okay. Now here, we're in an area, we're trying to follow the leadership of the Lord. We're doing what we need to do. We're doing what we set out to do. But there's somehow a sense that the Holy Spirit brings something to mind, and the Word of God works, and the Spirit of God works, and here's human instruments that he brings together in this situation, and he brings someone joyfully into the kingdom with great assurance. Now, that's what happened at Thessalonica, and Paul is thanking God for that. He is thrilled with what has happened there. Whenever he got to town, he came into town. He had come through other places, Apollonia, and down through there, and he had come through little communities, I'm sure, that were not sitting on a 100-mile walk, on a 100-mile walk from Philippi down to Thessalonica. He had come down to there, and whenever he got to town, he wasn't in the best condition. He didn't look the best. He didn't stay in a Holiday Inn Express the night before and know all the answers to everything, as that advertisement went some time ago. I don't know if he was able to get up that morning, get a good warm shower and shave with a good fresh bladed razor, or I don't know about things like that. I don't know what, but whenever he got to town, he had had a beating. I mean, he had had a beating. He had been in prison. After the jailer got saved, the jailer washed his stripes and tried to help him. But whenever he got there, he and Silas both, they were not too pretty to look at. But here was the Holy Spirit in power, using the Word. As chosen of God, we should be full of faith. The power of the Holy Spirit working through us, and the power of the gospel that's inherent in the gospel, and the Holy Spirit leading as we yield to Him, and God works in saving souls, changing lives, and building the church. That's what takes place. Verse 6. In verse 6, you have the power of the gospel. Now, we're not real comfortable with this. At least, I'm not real comfortable with this. And you became followers of us. Now, he says you became followers of us before he says you became followers of the Lord. That makes me a little uneasy. Uneasy. You received the word in much affliction with joy of the Holy Ghost, but you became followers of us. Now, this was not uncomfortable for Paul. Paul said this in a number of places. He says, "Be you followers of me. Follow me. Follow me." I don't like to do that. You know, I say, follow the Lord. Now, you obey the Lord. And you hear me say it a lot here. I don't want to be your Holy Spirit. I don't want to be your God. I want you to follow the Word of God. Follow the Word of God. But Paul didn't have any problem saying, follow me. Now, I wonder if new believers followed us. I mean, here they are. Here we're going, and they're right behind us, following right behind us. If they followed us, would they be recognized as followers of Christ? I think we don't want that responsibility. I think that's what I don't want. I don't want that responsibility to say, if you follow me, you'll be following Jesus. That's a commitment. That's a commitment. Wow. Now, I know it's a different day in which we live. I know in that day they didn't have the Word of God, and the Lord Jesus Christ came down to show them the Father and to show them how God acted, what God thought, how God spoke, what God's opinion was. I know God incarnate in human flesh. I don't have any problem with those doctrinal things. That's all true. The deity of Christ is there. But he revealed to us the Father. Okay? But Paul's saying here, what Jesus Christ came to do for the Father, you follow me, and I'll do that same thing for you in relationship to Jesus Christ. That's big stuff. I got to finish, I guess. When Paul arrived in Thessalonica, there was no misconception about what it meant to follow Christ. There's no misconception about that. Whenever he came to town, he'd been beaten and imprisoned already in Philippi 2 or 3 days before. Well, 4 or 5 days before, however long it took to walk it. 4 or 5 days before, he'd been beaten and imprisoned in Philippi and then run out of town. Whenever he came to town, there wasn't any misconception about the price that you paid if you're going to follow Christ. Wasn't any misconception about that at all. And whenever these people followed him and identified with him, they saw what happened to him in Thessalonica. They saw what took place there. Now, this is important whenever we come to next week, whenever they receive the word with affliction. Because, and I guess I'm saying next week, I'm saying it now, but whenever they got saved, the persecution started. You got that? That's what he's saying there. Whenever they got saved, the persecution started. So there was no misconception about that whatsoever. They paid the price to name the name of Christ. Well, let's stand together. If somewhere God can find some folks that will let his word flow through them and his Holy Spirit use them, the Holy Spirit will use them, the Holy Spirit will use the Word of God to bring other people to the Lord Jesus Christ.